This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for November 29th, 2011, episode number 282, sponsored by Pfizer Animal Health. Good morning, everybody. You're listening to a special recorded episode of Horses in the Morning this morning because Jamie, Jennifer, and I are on our way to Norco, California today. We're heading out there at the invitation of the city of Norco to provide for you the next 3 days, three fantastic live episodes direct from California. You can listen in tomorrow morning at our normal time, 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 a.m. Pacific Time, as we broadcast from Purina's America's Country Store. We have lots of fun guests lined up from Horsetown, USA, and we're looking forward to meeting everybody out there and just having a great time over the next 3 days. We want to thank Lisa from First Time Events. She has helped put all of this together and has a very full itinerary for us over the next couple of days. But we hope you join us each day, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday from Norco. We think you'll enjoy the show, and we would like to extend a special invitation to anybody who lives near Norco. If you are in or near Norco, you can join us at America's Country Store at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning if you want to get up a little early. And we'll have a live audience for the first time for Horses in the Morning. We're looking forward to meeting everybody and getting some of you on the air. And hopefully we'll see you out there at America's Country Store bright and early tomorrow morning. Today we have some great clips from you for some of our favorite episodes. And we bring you some of the best guessing games that we have played on the show. Jennifer, Jamie, and I got together and picked out some of the episodes that we really liked where we were playing some fun games and having a good time. And I think you're going to enjoy today's episode, whether you've heard them before or not. They're still funny and still entertaining. I enjoyed putting this together for you. But first, today's show is sponsored by Pfizer Animal Health, and they are the leading manufacturer of animal health products in North America and international markets. Pfizer Animal Health's tried-and-true line of vaccines include West Nile Innovator, the first vaccine developed to help protect against equine Nile, or West Nile virus, rather. They also have the Innovator combination vaccines, the FluVac Innovator vaccine line, and many other quality products. At Pfizer Animal Health, they are passionate about the health and wellness of horses and all animals. And they've just reintroduced Quest Plus Gel Dewormer. Quest Plus has been on back order and unavailable to the horse owners and veterinarians for quite some time, but the product is now back on the market just in time for your winter deworming and to help protect your horses against tapeworm threat as well as other serious internal parasites. For more information on all Pfizer Animal Health's products, go to PfizerAnimalHealth.com. And now, first up today is the time that a pony clubber schooled Jamie and I in a segment we called Smarter Than a Pony Clubber. This was taken off of episode 71 on February the 7th, and you want to listen in and see how Jamie and I did against a pony clubber. Not real well.
We're going to find out how smart we are now, Jamie. I'm a little concerned about this because, you know, as I said, I'm a horse husband. What do I know? Now, you have a better chance, but you were never in pony club either. So
I was never, we didn't have a pony club around, so never was, but I'm up to the challenge, and Glenn, I think you're going to surprise yourself. I think that Jennifer has taught you more than you know.
All right, well, we'll find out. Let's introduce our guest here. We have Connie Jell, I think it's, well, I don't even know how to say Connie's last name. We'll find out. And she is the Director of Education of the Pony Club. How do you say your last name, Connie?
Jellick.
Jellick. Okay, good. So it's Connie Jellick. You're Director of Education. You're a good one to do this segment with us today. And you, how long have you been with the Pony Club?
I've been here at the National Office since June, but I'm a graduate Pony Clubber myself and since I was 11 years old, so I've been around it for a long time.
All right, good, cool. Now, Connie, we didn't get a chance to talk ahead of time, so I didn't get a chance to say the questions that are the easiest ones go to Glenn. The hard ones go to Jamie. I just want to clarify that, okay? And then we have a challenger here who I don't. Can you introduce her? Do you want to introduce Morgan?
I actually not sure if I've met Morgan before. I probably have at Keeneland Pony Club, but I know that she's an HB, and she's in high school here in Lexington, Kentucky.
Well, let's welcome Morgan to the show. Hi, Morgan, and welcome to Horses in the Morning.
Hi, thank you, guys.
Well, you know, Morgan,
hey, Morgan.
You have to be kind to us because I'm a little concerned that you're going to whoop our butts.
I'll be as nice as I can.
Hey, Morgan, I have a question for you. Did you used to ride at Champagne Run?
I have actually never ridden at Champagne Run. I'm actually with Kathy Wieshoff right now, but I have competed against the Champagne Run kids, and I do all their shows. I support them.
Awesome. Yeah, your name sounded familiar, and there was a Morgan when I taught over at Champagne Run back in the, which we would make her a high schooler now. So that's why I thought, just checking, just seeing if I knew my competition. And if you ride with Kathy, she's going to kick our butt, Glenn.
I know. I'm a little concerned about that. So how did you get out? Are you playing hooky from high school today to play this game with us?
Well, I actually had to get social permission to leave, but they were very excited about it. So I'm actually sitting in the middle of my school right now talking to you guys. So
it's very exciting.
How cool is that? That's cool.
It is.
All right, good. Well, that means you better win or you're going to take a lot of harassment later in the day. I'm going to call all your friends
exactly.
And tell them you lost.
Exactly.
All right, so how are we playing this, Jennifer?
This is how it's going to work. Connie is our quiz master. She's asking the questions, being the director of education and all, and she will direct the question to a specific person. We'll do a little round-robin style, so we can go alphabetically if we like, and we will wait about a minute or so, 30 seconds to a minute, while you hem and haw. And if you don't get your answer, we will open it up to the other two people on the line and see if they can get it. And we'll kind of keep score points as we go along. We'll just do a point per correct answer just to make it simple. I get to keep score. Glenn starts with a -3 after Friday's show, so he has some time to make
great.
Up.
Great.
Love it.
And that's how we'll do it. Okay, any questions?
No, I just
Let's
wanted
go.
To say that anybody that wants to help me can post the answers on Facebook, and I will keep that open during the segment.
No, don't do it. Don't help them.
All righty, is everybody ready? And go ahead, Connie, with your first question.
Who's it for?
Okay, let's see. Glenn, we'll start with you. So I'll go alphabetical.
Geez.
That'll make it fair.
All right, good. I'm ready.
Okay, so these are, I'm pulling some questions from what we call our quiz bank. And so I'm going to give you a D question here. And Glenn, here it is. How many beats are there to the walk?
4?
Yay!
Ding, 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 ding.
Yay!
Well, I figured I had 4 feet. It had to be 4 beats. That's the only reason I came up with that.
Good thing you didn't ask him about the trot.
Yeah, I would have guys said 4. Yeah, I got one. All right, cool. Hey, by the way, I just want to let everybody know I'm winning right now. Who's up
okay.
next?
Jamie? So,
yeah, Jamie?
Let's see. I guess Jamie's next. And
okay.
Jamie, here we go. Name one kind of tissue that may be involved in a sprain.
A ligament?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Is that right? Yeah. All right, good.
Yes, tendon or ligament. All right. Okay, Morgan. All right. Name the disease that the symptoms of sweet pea poisoning mimic.
Sweet pea poisoning. Let's see.
Oh, she got a hard one. Ha!
Let's see. Is it name the symptoms, you said? Or name the disease?
Name the disease.
Which the symptoms?
Very good question.
You want to phone a friend?
I'm going to go with everything leads back to colic in some shape or form.
Well, it could be on that one. It doesn't list those as the answers, laminitis or azoturia.
Dang, that was hard.
Yeah, that was
that
hard.
Was a hard.
That's
one.
Why.
But she gave you a hard one.
She has a Taria out of Pony Club Manual. That's why.
Yep, they did.
Morgan, so, I would have said colic too, sister.
I love the way she thinks. Everything and everything goes back to colic in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah,
in
sure.
some way.
I like
yeah.
that.
So that was good. We could give that one to her. So.
All right, we'll give that to her. I'll give her a bell.
All right. That was a weird one. Sorry, but that I'm just trying to randomly pick one, and my eye went to that one.
Oh no! Make it tough on that pony clubber. Make it tough.
Yeah. Give her the hard.
I am giving her the harder questions. She is at the higher level, so. Okay, Glenn, you ready?
I'm ready.
All
oh, wait
right.
a minute. We didn't. Did we do oh. Jamie?
Yeah, Jamie.
Oh
yep,
yeah,
she got
and we did Morgan.
Jamie.
So Jamie
yep.
got hers. Morgan got hers. Everybody's got a point. Okay, we're good.
Okay.
Yes. All right.
Keep up, scorekeeper.
All right. Glenn, when turning your pony while mounted, what do you do with your eyes?
Close them?
Is that your final answer?
Oh, no, I don't think so. That's what I do. You asked what I do. What you should do... It's probably look to the direction that you're going.
Yes.
Yay! I get a bell, too.
Yay.
I close them. That's what I do. But, I do that the topic is probably look where you're going because that's an important part of not getting wiped out.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Oh,
next.
Okay. I can have it.
All right. Jamie, which of the horse's teeth should be floated?
Let's see, float all of the back teeth, which are the, let's see, you've got the front teeth or the incisors, and you've got the wolf teeth, which the wolf, and I'm sorry, the canines, then the wolf teeth are pulled, and then what are the back teeth called? The molars. Thank you.
Yes.
Look at you go. Look at you go. I didn't think you'd get all of those. I thought maybe you'd come up with molars and nothing else.
I had to work through it.
All okay. right, Morgan. Now we're ahead of you, Morgan. You got to keep up here.
I'm going to try.
Right. Okay, Morgan. Which skin disease can your horse pass to you?
Skin disease that can be passed to you. Let's see.
No multiple choice or anything?
God. Yeah. I would say probably ringworm.
Yay!
Oh, yeah.
Yeah!
There you go. All right.
Good
Morgan,
one. That was
hard. Yeah. I wouldn't have thought of ringworm.
Well, yeah. And just as an FYI, is ringworm technically a skin disease, or is it a...
Mm-hmm.
It's a parasite.
It's a fungus, isn't it?
It's a fungus. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Which is why it can go to you. It's not. We call it ringworm because it's in the shape of a ring, but it's not really a worm at
right.
all. It's a fungus.
All right, Cliff Clavin.
Okay, I'll shut up now. Keep score.
It looks like we're still tied.
Yeah, she's an A pony clubber. She knows more than all of us. So, Jen, you don't count in this competition.
Okay, Glenn, you ready?
I'm ready. We're all tied.
All right. Let's see. All right. If your pony is sick or off his feed, what warm mixture might you feed him?
A little rum and Coke. No, that's probably not right. A hot toddy? No. I happen to know this, what the heck's that stuff called? Okay, I'm drawing a blank here. I've only mixed it 1,000 times for Jennifer. It's powdery. What is it called?
Time is up. Come on.
Oh, I can't think. I can't recall. Oh, I can't remember.
Oh,
all right.
Okay. So now, does it go to Jamie now?
It goes
to
you.
Me. And that, it would go to me next, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I got to go, although I loved your answer, hot toddy, because that's what I like to have when I'm sick. It's a bran mash.
Oh, darn it.
Yay.
I knew that, too. Darn.
So Jamie gets the point. Yay.
Yes. Okay, now does Jamie
yeah.
get another question?
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
And Glenn, you're losing. You're losing, by
yeah,
the way.
Yeah, I noticed that. I noticed that.
Okay. All right, Jamie, where is the center of gravity on a horse when standing still?
The center of gravity when standing still. I would say the chest?
No, we've got a little further back.
Well,
oh, no, wait a minute. Now it goes to it. Now she got it wrong. So
oh,
it goes
sorry.
To Morgan.
That's right. I'm not
yeah,
supposed
to say.
Yeah,
it goes to Morgan
anything.
To go. So, Morgan, what, you know the answer?
The center of gravity when the horse stands still should be probably somewhere towards the center of the back, more between the withers and the loins, I would say.
Well, do we have to keep going?
Just like half right. So, I guess to Glenn.
Well, then that only leaves one spot. It's getting easier here. I would say toward the back of the back at the beginning of the butt.
Oh,
no.
No?
Is it the heart?
Yes, the heart. So behind his elbow near the girth.
Yeah.
So the withers was close, but then she said too far, all the way to the loin, and then that would be too far. So that was a hard one.
Oh,
yeah.
Everybody loses.
Nobody
all right,
gets
so
a point on that one.
Again.
Back
okay.
to Jamie.
So,
I missed it first.
No, actually, it's back to
no,
Morgan
we'll
now.
No, we go to Morgan.
Yeah.
We'll go
yep,
to Morgan.
Morgan's
yeah.
up.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Name two good sources of carbohydrates for horses.
All right, carbohydrates and horses.
Potato chips do not count.
Okay. I would say I'm going to go with grains and some kind of hay.
Yes.
Yay.
Good job, Morgan. Yay.
So not rices and pastas.
Exactly.
I was kind of thinking of sticky buns, but... And I want to thank Phyllis for writing in. She writes in on Facebook trying to help me out. She says the answer is yes.
Well,
thanks, Phyllis. Appreciate it. So what's the score, Jennifer?
Currently the score is Glenn 2, Jamie 3, Morgan 3.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I got to catch up. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Okay, Glenn, you ready?
Yep,
all right.
I'm ready.
All right. How often should your pony have salt to eat or lick?
That should be there all the time. They should have it available
Yay.
At all times.
Ding,
and
ding,
it
ding,
should
ding.
Be, what kind of salt, Jamie?
Redmond Rocks.
There you go. It should be Redmond Rock Salt. That's correct. Hey, I get that one. Yay! All right, cool. That was an easy one. Thank you.
Very good.
Appreciate that, Connie. I'll pay you later.
You're welcome. Okay, let's see. So, Jamie, what is another name for equine distemper?
I was going to say parvo. That's dog so. equine distemper is distemper. I want to say, is it rabies?
No. Okay, Morgan.
Equine distemper strangles.
Yay!
Way to go, girl.
Well
Way
done.
To go. Wow, that puts Morgan in the lead. What's that? And it's Morgan's time up, too. She can get an extra bonus point here.
There we go.
Oh, okay, so Morgan gets another one if she answers that correct?
Yep,
Got
yep.
It.
Yeah, sure. We can change the rules anytime we want here.
No. Okay. All right, Morgan. give an example of what you can feed a horse to provide fatty acids?
Fatty acids in horses is going to be like oils. Fish oil is one.
Hamburgers. Hamburgers.
Yes, I can go with hamburgers too.
If they eat it. Okay.
Yeah. There's no guarantee with that.
Okay. All right. So is that your answer, or so?
I'm going to go with most types of, like, oily kind of foods and, like, flax seeds and things like that.
Okay. Well, let's see. I think we can give it to her. I don't know if my horse would eat fish oil, but corn oil, wheat germ oil, barley oats, flaxwood.
Yeah. Believe it or not, Connie, here in Lexington, we have a
do
lot
feed a
of
fish?
People who feed their horses fish oil. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah.
I'm originally not from here, so I guess so. He's got it then. All right. I learned something.
Fish oil, it does smell nasty. I don't know why they eat it. Black.
Yeah.
So what's the score, Jennifer? I guess that puts Morgan in the lead here.
Yes, Glenn three, Jamie three, Morgan five.
Oh.
Woo, Morgan!
Is it
on.
Wrong? Is it really wrong to want to beat a high schooler so bad?
I guess it's my turn.
All right, I'm ready.
All right, Glenn, here we go. How often should your pony or horse be shod?
Every 6 weeks.
Yay!
Is that right?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Hey.
I noticed
good.
You gave yourself the bell before you
knew
the answer.
I was thinking really positive there. Jamie, you lose this
okay.
one.
Okay.
I could be you right. here.
Let's see. Okay, name one American breed that has been bred for easy, comfortable distance riding.
Tennessee Walking Horse.
Yay.
Where's my bell, Glenn? Thank you.
All right, there it is.
And our favorite Tennessee Walking Horse is?
Ivory Tail.
Yes.
And our second favorite is Craving Blue. Hi, Craving Blue.
Okay.
My first favorite is Push. I better say that because it's a client of mine.
Oh, yeah. That's your dressage walking horse, right?
Yeah, exactly. Hi, Push. Okay, go ahead. Morgan's turn.
Okay. Morgan, name a document you should carry with you when trailering your horse to a show.
The Coggins test.
Yay.
Good job.
That Morgan is on a roll.
She's still in the lead, isn't she, Jennifer?
She is. That gives her six. So, folks, this is the final round.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Pressure.
All right,
and
Connie, go for it. Give,
okay.
Give him
Jamie
questions.
And I are tied, right?
Jamie and Glenn are both at four. Morgan is at six.
Okay, you got to ask a really hard one for Jamie because I want bragging rights till next month.
Yeah.
Okay, Glenn, you ready?
Yes. We're ready.
Name one way your pony can get fresh.
Standing in wet, mucky goop.
Yeah, all right. Wet, mucky goop.
Goop is one of Glenn's favorite words.
That's the technical term, goop.
Well, it's close, but we'll take it. You're just a D, so we're going to take it. Okay.
Oh, jeez.
All right, Jamie, let's see. All right, name two good qualities that are desirable in a horse's knees and hocks.
Ooh.
I would say knees and hocks. Good qualities would be plenty of joint space.
Okay.
Let's see, and another good quality in hocks would be that they're straight.
Hmm. Okay. All right.
You don't want a cow hock horse. You don't want a horse that's over in the knee, back at the knee. You want straight.
Right. Okay.
Yay!
Did she get it?
Yay!
Yeah.
Now, in Pony Club, I use the term loosely because I'm not technically a Pony Club member anymore, use a lot of terms that have a European origin and a lot of terms that maybe folks who didn't go through the Pony Club process might not be familiar with anymore. So, Connie, could you tell us and our listeners what the Pony Club calls those, what terms they use for the answers? Because Jamie got the answer right, but she used a different, more modern term.
Correct. These are some of the terms, right? Wide, flat, clean, clearly defined. So those were some of the terms that they had used. But she's,
yeah, and
she's
I got to
right
think
on
of that because the the Shaggy Arabians, we had on our show notes their breed standard, and a common term used to be flat or dry when talking about horses' joints.
Yes. All I know, Jennifer, is that when you do a pre-purchase exam and you take a radiograph of, it's not the knees, it's the carpus, you would like to have a very healthy joint space in there with a lot of lubricating joint fluid. So there you go. I'm Cliff Clavin. What's up?
And that's why you have
point.
That's right. And that's why you have a quiz master. So I have to kind of determine that you explained yourself and we accept it. That's great.
I think that counts for an extra point for me. So that would be
Wait a minute. No bell on that one.
Okay.
And I think Morgan gets her last shot here.
Well, before we move on though, just quiz I'm going to ask the quiz master. Does Jamie get an extra half a point for carpus? I think she should.
For carpus.
So.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well,
because it's actually not the knee. The knee is actually the stifle. Mm-hmm. The carpus would be our wrist, which is the horse's what we call, in air quotes, the knee. How about
that? I'm a scorekeeper, so I'm giving you an extra half a point for anatomy.
Oh, wait a minute here.
Wow. I'm not going to get in the middle of this one.
Last chance.
Doghouse one.
Okay, Morgan. Morgan, why is it important to rotate the type of dewormer drug used?
Because parasites can become accustomed to the dewormer, and once the parasite gets into the horse, the dewormer's not going to fight off that parasite, and your horse is going to get worms. So you should rotate them at least every 3 to 5 months.
Okay. All right. So she just put it in another way. That's correct.
That's actually not correct.
There's a challenge.
I have a challenge. Because she's saying that basically you want to rotate dewormers, but the reason you actually rotate is because some dewormers don't kill all parasites. Like ivermectin will get bots, but strongia doesn't. So that's why you rotate. It's to get all the different various types of worms. Thank you.
But here you go. If you use a wormer that gets all of them, and some of them do, you still have to rotate them because of resistance.
They can build up a resistance.
That's right.
Actually,
so both answers are correct.
If you were fighting resistance, you wouldn't just deworm willy-nilly. What you would do is you would take a fecal sample into your local veterinarian. They would analyze it. I am such a nerd. Morgan,
yes.
You kicked my butt. I'm just mad.
Morgan, she is not competitive at all.
No, she's not.
Not at all.
I'm sorry. I'm not giving you the extra half a point this time.
Morgan, congratulations. Yay, Morgan, beat us good.
Yay, Morgan.
Hey, Morgan, I got to tell you, too, when I promoted this on Facebook earlier, I made a mistake, and I put you in HA, so you've been promoted.
Oh, well, there you go. I don't have to take that rating now. Thanks.
No tests for you. You just get it. You're friends with us. You got it. I'll just we'll call Connie later and take care of that.
Okay.
Way to go, Morgan. Good job, Jamie and Glenn.
Glenn doesn't know anybody. Don't put that on your business card. Don't. You'll be wrong.
Thank you so much, Morgan, for joining us today. We really appreciate it and taking time off of school to just have a little fun. That was a hard request. And Connie, you were great. Thank you so much for asking us the questions. Will you come back and stump us again?
Sure. That was fun.
Well, we hope you enjoyed that, being stumped by a Pony Clubber. doesn't take a whole lot, actually, when you really think about it. It's just Jamie and I. Well, I did a little challenge for Jamie and Jennifer to pick what were the top 10 horse songs throughout history, and we played a little bit of each of them. I think you enjoy listening to this again. We got a lot of comments on this particular segment. So this is the top 10 horse songs that's taken off of episode 243 on October the 5th. I hope you enjoy.
I found at one of the very top, and I'm not going to say which one it is because then you'll cheat and you'll go looking for it, but because I want to get you to guess. I found the top horse songs of all time, and I'll tell you what website I found it on. But now I got to tell you, I'm going to give you a disclaimer. This website published the top 30 horse songs of all time, but I have to say that this is of all time. And some of these, you know how I don't like black and white movies? Well,
oh God.
I don't like black and white songs either. And some of these are way old.
Black and white songs?
These are way old. Some of them you're going to recognize, and some you're probably not, everybody out there. But okay, so what are your guesses for, and you, Jennifer, can play along too. What, first of all, what are your favorite horse songs, and what are your guesses of what might be on the top 30 songs of all time? And keep in mind that this was done by a 90-year-old.
Okay, so probably I'm not going to know many of them. I would say on this list, I'm going to save my number one pick because I don't want to throw out the number one pick right now.
All right.
However, all right. I would think the America song, Horse With No Name, because I've been through the desert on a horse with no name. It's so good to be out. Yeah, how about that one?
Okay, well, I'll tell you, that's on the list. That's on the list. Yeah, that's good. That's on the list.
Jennifer, do you have any guesses?
Oh, man, it's so cheesy, but Wildfire, I don't even remember who did it.
I will tell you that that's on the list.
Yeah.
That's on the list also. Ding, 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 ding. And Jamie, your favorite singer of all time, going to see him. Which one does he have?
Oh, see, that's my number one pick. From a phone booth in Cheyenne, I made a promise to Diane. No more rodeos, I've gone my last go round. And then I'll skip to the chorus. Wild horses.
That's right. You're right.
Dragging
it is on the list.
Me away. And I'll lose more than I'm going to win someday.
You guys are doing good. I'll tell you what. You're doing good.
My horses just stay wild.
Now you've created a monster, Glenn.
I know. You're going to have a chance to sing that in just a minute, too. And you're also going to be surprised about that song because there's something related to that. But also, there's another one that you should guess. It's not in the top 10, but it is in the top 30. And it's one of your favorite TV shows of all time, Jamie.
Ooh, this is getting interesting. I'm dying to know. Let's hear the list. I mean, the other thing I was thinking,
okay.
There's a black horse and a cherry tree, but that's not really a song about horses. And that was more recently new, that the K.T. Tunstall song, you know? That's probably not on there, is it?
Well, I have sound files for the top 10. I'm going to play it.
Right.
And we'll see if you guys recognize these. So this is number 10, everybody.
I'm back in the saddle again.
That was my guess.
Out where a friend is a friend, where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly Jimson weed, I'm back in the saddle again.
That's one of those black and white songs.
Yep, you can buy the whole CD entitled Back in the Saddle Again at oldies.com for $3.95.
How did you know that?
You get 17 tracks for $3.95 thanks to the Mystery.
Jennifer likes black and white movies and black and white songs.
Yes, I do.
So who was that singing?
Gene Autry.
Gene Autry, Back in the Saddle Again.
Oh,
you're
face.
Absolutely right. All right, now here's one. You won't know the singer because it's just some schmuck in his living room, but it's the only one I could find of this one. And this one you probably sang when you were at camp somewhere.
The old gray mare, she ain't what she used to be. Ain't what she used to be.
Ain't
what she used to be. The old gray mare.
Ha ha ha. That's number nine. I told you, the person that put this list together was 90 years old, I'm telling you. All right, this is one that you'll recognize probably, Jamie.
Pony boy, pony boy, won't you be my pony boy? Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, whoa, my pony boy. Ride with me, ride with me, won't you take a ride with me?
So who was that?
It's really hard to hear, but is that... It's not Springsteen, is it?
Yeah, it's Bruce Springsteen, Tony
yeah.
Boy. That's right. That's right.
All right.
So Bruce Springsteen made the top 10 list of the best horse songs. All right. Now, this one goes back to Jennifer again because I think she's the only one maybe that will know it.
I ride an old paint and I lead an old dam. Going to Montana to throw the hooligan. Feed them in the coolies and water in the draw. Their tails are all matted and their backs are all raw. Ride around, little doggies, ride around them slow.
Jennifer?
Oh, I don't know who that one is.
Wow, that's
old. Get Along, Little Doggy, obviously, is the song, but I don't know who's singing it.
No, it's actually the song. I thought the song name was that, too, but it's not. It's I Ride an Old Paint, and it's by Arlo Guthrie. And that dates back to like the 40s. So 1940s, that is, people. Although it might as well be the 1840s. So that's Arlo Guthrie, I Ride an Old Paint. I thought you'd have trouble with that one. I'm not sure. You guys might get this one. This is number six on the hit parade of favorite horse songs.
Down in the horse corral, standing alone. Is an old caballo a strawberry roan? His legs are all spat and he's got pigeon toes. Little pig eyes.
Jamie?
Am I supposed to know that?
I don't think so. Not unless you follow the Grand Old Opry radio show on a regular basis.
No, but I was going to say for half a second I thought it was Elvis.
That's actually Marty Robbins doing Strawberry Roan, which I can honestly say I've never heard that song before.
My dad just freaked out because he loved
that. Oh, really?
Grendel. I'm sure he knew who that was. He knows all that old-ass music.
He's a country great, but, you know, as I told you my story before, we went to the Grand Old Opry, sat and was at the Ryman Theater, sat on the church pews and watched, and I fell asleep because they had about 90-year-olds singing country, and whew, that was torturous. Here is one that, Jamie, that you expected, and you're going to be very disappointed. It's not number one.
There's more than I'm going to win someday. Wild horses just stay wild.
Away, and I'll lose more than I'm gonna win someday. Yeah,
now, one, and of course, that was Jamie's favorite, Garth Brooks doing Wild Horses. And I know you probably thought that was going to be number one, but it was not.
It should be. Yeah. Hold on. I am going to make a promise right now. I am going to leave for 5 minutes of this show if you're going to tell me that Taylor Swift's song is better than Garth Brooks' song. She had that stupid White Horse song. It's not stupid. It's really good, actually. But if she beats out Garth Brooks, I'm going to be mad.
No, as a matter of fact, you'll be happy to know that she's not even in the top 30 because you got to remember that I think whoever put this list together is about 90 years old and probably doesn't know who Taylor Swift is. I keep saying that like I know who put this list together. I know the website that put it out, but I don't know who put the list together. All right, now this is one you're going to be surprised at, and it's going to sound vaguely familiar, like a lot like the last one, and you're going to be there.
You know I can't let you slide through my hands. Wild horses couldn't drag me away.
Rolling Stones, baby. That is a great song.
But do you think that the Garth Brooks version should have been above it?
I think Garth should have been number one. And let me back up, because you made it sound like I hate Taylor Swift. I love Taylor Swift. I just did not want her to beat out Garth Brooks on a horse song. Okay? So there you go.
I'm not such a big Taylor Swift fan. So now number three, again, is one of those songs. If you guys know this, I'll be amazed. This goes, I don't even know where this goes back to, but here's number three.
The battle was over at Custer's last stand, and taps were sounding for all the brave men, while one lone survivor, wounded and weak, Comanche, the brave horse, lay at the general's feet.
Yes, no.
What? Oh, what?
I thought it was Johnny Cash, but no, it's not.
Yeah, you're close. It's Johnny Horton, who I have no idea, people.
Johnny who?
Let me stop you right there. Do not say that she was close when you say Johnny Cash and Johnny Horton. Or here's a who. I don't know.
Had the same first name. That was close enough. Johnny Horton. Yeah, Comanche the Brave Horse. I don't know where that came from. All right,
that's
here's number...
ridiculous.
I know. Like, it was number three on this list out of 30. All right, here's number two. Here's number two. And I think somebody guessed this one.
You ain't calling wildfire. Calling wildfire. Calling wildfire.
And now you're going to have Wildfire stuck in your head the rest of the day, because that's what that song does.
That's what that song does.
It just sticks in there. You're going to be out there tacking up your horse going, Wildfire. And for the longest time, just like yesterday, when I said I thought donkeys grew up to be mules, for the longest time, I never knew this was about a horse. I just never listened that close. Just didn't.
Well,
Michael
sometimes
Martin
don't
Murphy.
Admit stuff.
I know. Hey, if we can't pick on ourselves, you know. And, of course, Jamie's guest, and you were absolutely right earlier about the number one.
Don't you know, love? See, I've been through the desert on a horse with no name. It felt good to be out of the rain. In the desert, you can't remember your name.
Now, I'm gonna tell you an honest story about that song.
Okay. By America, of course.
By America, that is the first song I learned on guitar.
Really?
Do you know why that's the first song I learned on guitar?
Because it's easy to play?
The entire song, you use two fingers on two different strings. So it's like the easiest song, the entire song is two, they're not even chords, really. It's just put your finger here and then move your finger here. And then the whole entire song does not change. If you play it again and listen to the music, you'll be like, you're right. It's the exact same music.
All right, here we go. You're right.
You're right. Even the la la part doesn't change.
You're absolutely right. I noticed that. So that was the top 10. I noticed that Glenn Forrester posted on our Facebook page that he likes, his favorite was Run for the Roses. And that is in the top 30. That's, of course, done by Dan Fogelberg. And that's the song that, of course, it has become a Derby Day classic, as much as my old Kentucky home has. And that was number 23 on the list. And there's one that I'm going to play this and see if you can hear it. I don't have this one uploaded, but, of course, this is on the list. It is number 22, and I'm surprised you didn't guess it. See if we can hear this. You can't hear this. Let me try it again. Hold on one second. I got to make this work.
Hello.
Hello.
A horse is a horse, of course, of course. And no one can talk to a horse, of course. That is, of course, unless the horse is a famous mystery.
Let's let this one play.
Right. He'll give you the answer that you endorse.
You never heard of a talking horse? Well, listen to this.
I
Mr. Ed. There you go. Mr. Ed was number 22 on the list. There was a couple others. You go ahead.
That song, I mean, it's not really a song. It's the intro to a show. I mean, it's, what do they call those? It's like the opening
theme
music.
Theme song. Hey, guess what I have, too? And we'll have to do this someday. It has nothing to do with horses. But I have a CD of all of the most famous theme songs throughout TV history. And we'll have to play Name That Theme Song someday. We'll get a listener on, and we'll play Name That Theme Song someday with you, Jennifer, and a listener. We'll have to do that because that's a lot of fun. And there's like 100 of them on there. But a couple others before we get to our first guest, a couple of others on the list were Live Like Horses. You know, John? Yeah?
Do I get to do my big, humongous, monstrous news story?
No, we're going to wait for the next half hour. We're going to wait for the next half hour for that. Live Like Horses was another one that you might recognize from the top 10. How about Three Horses by Joan Baez? Do you know that one? Yeah.
I love Joan Baez.
I know, me too. One Trick Pony by Paul Simon was on the top 10 list. And I was surprised you didn't guess this one. I thought you would get Beer for My Horses by Toby Keith and Willie Nelson.
Whiskey for my men, beer for my horses. That's a great song.
Yep. So let me see. Crazy Horses by the Osmond Brothers. That was kind of a 70s know-nothing song, in my opinion. So that's it. That was the top 10. This was put out by HorseChannel.com, the 30 greatest horse songs by HorseChannel.com, and the 90-year-old who picked them all. So there we go.
And then
there it was, the songs that everybody loves about horses. And we have one more for you today that I hope you enjoy. This is off of episode number 92 from March the 8th, 2011. And this was a quiz that I gave Jennifer and Jamie about the top 10 grossing horse-related movies of all time. So we had some movie talk, which I think you will enjoy. So sit back and grab another cup of coffee and enjoy the top 10 grossing movie segment that we did back in March.
Hey, you found some interesting stats, didn't you, Jamie?
Oh, you know, and reading over these stats, Glenn has made me get all like 12-year-old girl, and I love this. So they did a listing of the top 10 grossing horse-related movies, and there's actually 11 because two of them tied, even though they're not tied, but it's still coming up. So I would like to say that the number 11 is my favorite horse movie of all time. I mean, it doesn't get better than that. And what I've done is I pulled some quotes from these movies because, well, you'll hear the quote. And if you're like a real horse movie buff like I am, you will know the movie I'm talking about. So let me see. Jennifer, Glenn, do you know this one? Okay. There's a dozen good breedmares.
I won't do well at these, by the way.
I'll be back for them. Well, you can't interrupt my quote, okay?
Oh, sorry.
Okay. There's a dozen good breedmares in that mob. I'll be back for them. And whatever else is mine.
Well,
you
that's
got that
a
one?
Bad Australian accent, so that gives us a clue.
That's a hint.
There's only one movie that I can remember that has a bad Australian accent that was a horse movie, and that was The Snowy River Run, right?
A Man from Snowy River. Hey, Glenn, a man without a horse is like a man without legs. That's like the greatest horse movie of all time. Yes, The Man from Snowy River came in at number 10, technically number 11, with $20,659,423 as of when this list came out. Number 9... or actually number 2, I'm just going to go with number 9 so it doesn't screw me up because there's two number 6s. And the quote from this movie, Daddy, you can shoot Flicka if you want to.
What was that again?
Daddy,
I didn't even.
Daddy, you can shoot Flicka if you want to.
Well, that's pretty easy. Even I'd get that one.
I'm sorry, that was the spookiest part when she comes down the stairs and she's all, like, gaunt and pale because she's been out in the rain trying to save Flicka. And then she looks, because Flicka's way sick, and she looks at Tim McGraw and she goes, Daddy, you can shoot Flicka if you want to. Oh, it was so spooky. So, yeah, that was Flicka at $21 million.
Now, was Flicka a Disney production?
I believe it was.
Because only a Disney production would have that line.
Daddy, it's okay. You can shoot Flicka if you want to.
Any other movie, he would have just shot Flicka.
That's right out of Bambi right there.
Yeah.
I know.
I'm looking. Actually, it was, let's see here. It says, what did it say? It was a Disney movie.
You want me to Google faster than you? Because I can do it.
I'm reading. Motion picture. Details. 20th Century Fox, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
It was Fox. And yeah. I'm sorry, a horse movie with Tim McGraw, does it get better than that? I do.
Isn't he a baseball guy or something?
His dad was a baseball player, Tug McGraw.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Hey, Glenn, you knew some baseball trivia.
I know. I am such a baseball fan. It's unbelievable.
Hey, guess what I'm doing today? I'm going to a baseball game. I'm going to a spring training game. Yee-haw.
Hey, did the in-laws make it in, by the way?
Oh, yeah, they're here. They are here, and I made dinner for them last night, and we had a very lovely evening. They toured the farm. They definitely think it's surprising that their fighter pilot son lives on a farm, but whatever.
With <you
know>.
Chickens.
And that's what his mom says. You just never know where life is going to take you.
That's her nice way of saying, you guys are nuts.
So are they going to be staring at you doing the show this morning? Or?
Everybody's still in bed right now because, remember, it's only 7:20 here. So,
next week, by the way, this weekend, by the way, spring forward time, we change our clock.
I know. I don't want to talk about it because we don't change clocks here. And it'll then be 6:20 right now, and I let's move on. Okay, so number 8. Was a horse movie that I don't think I've seen. $21,800,000, and it was called Gus. Do you remember a horse movie called Gus?
No, I'm not thinking I know Gus.
I would type it, but I can't because my keyboard still doesn't work, so I can't Google it.
Apparently, it starred Ed Asner. It was 1976.
Oh yes, Don Knotts.
I'm looking here. Yeah, that's right. It had Don Knotts in it. Yep.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
He was a football player.
That was a mule, not a horse.
Yeah, it was a mule, and he was a football player.
And that was a Walt Disney one. Stop. Yeah, I've seen that one.
Yes. He was the team mascot.
That's all I needed to know was Don Knotts and the mule that plays football. Why on earth did that thing make $21 million?
This is awesome.
Because Jennifer liked it.
It's Don Knotts and a mule that plays football. That's as bad as the Air Bud, the basketball-playing German golden retriever.
Now, that I personally think was a bit of a stretch. But the mule and Don Knotts were awesome together.
So there you go. God. And do you remember the movie? Which one was Don Knotts the fish, Jennifer?
Limpet. The great
Limpet.
Limpet. Oh, was that a good flick?
That was a good movie.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on, moving on. This is ridiculous. Number seven, I've got a quote for you from number seven. And imagine sitting there. You are a great champion. When you ran, the ground shook. The sky opened and mere mortals parted. Part of the way to victory, where you'll meet me in the winner's circle, where I'll put a blanket of flowers on your back. Did I sound like Dakota Fanning at all? Nothing?
No.
That would be...
No.
I think you still have a little work to do on that one.
Yeah, I think.
Well, that's Dreamer, inspired by a true story, the $32 million movie with Kurt Russell and Dakota Fanning. And it was just such a great movie. And she fed the horse popsicles and all that. And it got in the Breeders' Cup. Well, I'm not gonna spoil it if you haven't seen it. But it's a great movie. Number six, The Black Stallion with $37 million.
Yeah.
Great movie.
I thought that would be higher up, actually.
I don't know.
DVD, I don't know if this is box office or DVD sales, too. You know what I mean?
Because
I thought that would have been higher up than just DVD sales.
Yeah, that's true. It was a popular one, but I read all the books, and then I saw the movie. So, yeah, The Black Stallion, Walter Farley's classic, made into a movie, currently standing at about $38 million. Now, this one I thought was cute, and I did see it in the theater, but it was, of course, a little ridiculous. And Frankie Muniz as a zebra, Racing Stripes.
Oh, yeah.
Do you guys remember that one?
Oh, I never saw that, but now when you said zebra, I went, oh, yeah, that one. It looked
And are you so... telling me that you thought Gus was silly and you thought Racing Stripes was okay?
Hello, it's a zebra that runs in the Kentucky Derby. It's like the greatest idea ever. Isn't that what happens in that movie? Doesn't he run in the Kentucky Derby?
I don't think I've ever seen it either. So.
Here it is. An abandoned zebra grows up believing he's a racehorse, and with the help of his barnyard friends and a teenage girl, he sets out to achieve his dream of racing with the thoroughbreds. Yes.
There you go.
And he does. And he is a winner. Okay. number four, of course, we've all seen and we've talked about a million times, and I love the part where the guy comes out on the track and he's like, you about to see something you ain't never seen. Of course, I've got to be talking about
Secretariat.
Anybody?
Yeah.
Secretariat, of course. And some of the lines I really liked when Lucien Lauren's like, he leans back against the starting gate like he's in a hammock in the Caribbean. He's slower than a fat man encased in concrete being drugged backwards.
You remember the weirdest stuff, I have to say.
I thought that was so funny. I loved that part. Yeah,
yeah,
so.
I loved Lucien. He was awesome.
And we bought that. We bought that just out in DVD. We bought it now. We haven't watched it at home yet, but we're going to have to do that here one of these nights. I was actually surprised that wasn't up the list. But it just came out in DVD. So what did it do dollar-wise in the box office?
$60 million. $60 million right now. And it's so funny because these are such big numbers. $60 million. Like, oh, that's not funny.
Do you know
much.
How much
yes,
that – do you remember how much that one cost to make, Secretariat?
I don't. I have no idea.
$35 million it cost to make. So.
Oh, it's a pretty good return.
Yeah, they'll sell a lot in DVD with that one, I think.
Yeah. Number four, also number four, great movie if you haven't seen this one, which actually this is the one we watched at your house when I was visiting you in Kentucky.
Oh, yeah.
And you guys, I don't think you'd ever seen
it. The desert movie?
Before.
No, we hadn't seen it before. The desert movie with what's his name?
Viggo Mortensen. And the movie was Hidalgo.
Hidalgo.
Yes.
Hidalgo.
And my quote from that one is, I just love it because his name is Frank in the movie, and he walks up and he's like, mister, you can say anything you want to about me, but I'm going to have to ask you not to talk to my horse that way.
Wasn't Omar Sharif in that movie?
I think so. I don't know. I'm not sure.
I think you're thinking of Lawrence of Arabia, aren't you?
No, let me look it up. I'm pretty sure Omar Sharif was in that movie. Hold on. Yeah, it was.
Wasn't he the father?
He was the sheikh.
Yeah, the sheikh, the father
That's
of the daughter.
That's right, he was the sheikh. I thought he was in that movie. Yeah, he was the sheikh. That's right, yep. And I can't even say the name of the girl. Zulika Robinson was the daughter.
Well, you pronouncing names is much like me doing accents. We're both just terrible.
I know. We make a good pair. All right, so we have – so what could be above Hidalgo? Well, Seabrook could have to be up
crazy?
There, you would think.
Well, you've got number three, Spirit Stallion of the Cimarron at 73 million.
Never
which
heard
is,
of it.
I'm sorry? You have not seen the cartoon horse movie? Isn't it like a Pixar or something?
I have no idea.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm not sure who did that one. Yeah.
Let me see if that's Pixar. Spirit Stallion of the Cimarron. It is a horse, a wild horse that basically I'm trying to – I actually have the video game for it because your spirit and you have to go out and you have to free, you have to break out of your paddock and then you have to run and free all the other little horses around. But here's the synopsis. Spirit, Stallion of the Cimarron, 2002, as a wild stallion travels across the frontiers of the Old West, he befriends a young human and finds true love with a mare.
Did it have music in it? Did they sing? Because I hate singing cartoons.
They don't sing, but Matt Damon is the voice of Spirit. How do you not know this movie?
I don't think I do.
Now, is Stallion of Cimarron also a Walter Farley story?
No.
No? Okay.
No. It's not. It's just, I mean, I can tell you it's written by John Fusco, but I don't know who that guy is. Anyway, this is Spirit, and then he keeps getting trapped by men, and then the bad military guys try to corral him, and then they rope him, and then they put him into work, and he's being a logging horse, and he breaks free because he fakes dead, and then the log falls down, and all the horses get loose, and then he has to go back, and he finds a little Indian boy, and then they ride back, and they save each other, and then he goes back to the – I'm done.
You have all right. Way too much time on your hands. Way
I'm telling you. Now, see, this number two, okay, I didn't really care for. And it made $75 million, and I just really didn't particularly like The Horse Whisperer.
I don't think we did either. We weren't big fans. That was the one with what's his name?
Robert Redford.
Robert Redford, yeah. I fell asleep during it.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
Robert Redford is a classic actor, and he's amazing. But the chick in it, and then the fact that they're like, you know, cheating on each other in a marriage situation, and the daughter. But I mean, the daughter was amazing too. You know who she is now, right? The girl that played in The Horse Whisperer.
No.
What's her name? She's What's her name now? I forget. Scarlett Johansson.
Was she in that movie?
Yeah, she's the girl that got run over and got hurt.
Oh, she's
all
the
that
one at the beginning of the movie that she was supposed to be the sympathetic character. Yes. Okay, got it.
No, she's the daughter.
I didn't realize that.
She goes to visit with the horse whisperer. She's in the whole movie.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of an interesting factoid. However,
well, that only leaves one, our favorite movie.
Oh, gosh. And I'm sorry, there is no horse movie better than Seabiscuit, except for the Memphis North River. And that's made $120 million. And, of course, there's like a million quotes from Seabiscuit. I like the race caller guy. He's like, no more match races for this little horse because, frankly, they're all out of matches. Who's he going to race? Pegasus?
Yeah, that guy was awesome.
Oh, yeah, he did.
There were so many really cool characters in that movie.
Yeah, it was. And the narrator, I thought the narrator, his voice was awesome. And he's like, the first time he saw Seabiscuit, the colt was walking through the fog at 5 a.m. Smith would later say that the horse looked right through him, as if to say, what the bleep are you looking at? Who do you think you are? He was a small horse, barely 15 hands. He was hurting, too. There was a limp in his walk, a wheezing when he breathed, but Smith didn't pay attention to that. He was looking the horse in the eyes. I love it. Oh, I got goosebumps reading
that. I think one of the best characters in that whole thing was the announcer guy, the little announcer guy for the radio station or whatever. He was good. I liked him.
And with all the sound effects and stuff.
Speaking of, I liked him. See, I got my bell here. Alan, the co-host on the Western Radio Show, must be listening this morning. Hello, Alan. And he says, trivia time, what was the name of the horse that carried Jim Craig down the mountain in Snowy River?
Denny, hello. Gosh, challenge me.
There you go. Looks like she got it there, Alan.
Okay, another quiz, Jamie. What's your husband's birthday?
I know this one too. Okay, January 8th. So I got that one down because it's right after Christmas, and it's kind of annoying that he's got December's Christmas, January's birthday, and then February's Valentine's Day. It's like all crammed in there together. So it's a lot of shopping at once. Anyway, Denny was the horse that ran down the mountain. And he was given to him by Spurred because a man without a horse is like a man without legs. Like
all
I said.
Right.
Well, we hope you've enjoyed some of the fun that we've had in the past episodes and with our little quizzes and trivia while we're traveling to Norco, California today. We'll be back live tomorrow through Friday, as I said, from Norco, California, 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific. You'll want to join us in person if you can, if you live near Norco, tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. at America's Country Store there in Norco, California. We'll have an audience and everything. We're looking forward to that. And also some live music from what I hear. So we'll be back with you tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening to us today. We really appreciate it. Remember that you can listen to all of our shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you in California tomorrow morning.